America's tiniest member of the gull family belongs on coastal beaches from California through the Gulf, up the Atlantic to Maine, and on some sandy areas up the Mississippi River. The dainty sea swallow was once abundant along these sandy beaches, but has declined dangerously and dramatically throughout its entire range since the 1960s, and historic numbers were even larger. Lease terns were wonderfully abundant in the early 1800s until their nesting colonies were decimated by egg hunters and by market hunters supplying the millinery trade. Lease tern feathers, whole wings, and even whole bodies adorned fashionable ladies' hats. How serious has the decline been? Breeding bird surveys conducted annually since 1966, coordinated by the U.S. Geological Survey, show that the North American population of lease terns has dropped by 88% between 1966 and 2015. One fisherman along the Virginia coast told Arthur Cleveland Bent way back in the 1930s or so that in the area where he worked, as many as 100,000 had been collected in single breeding seasons at the turn of that century. It's hard to imagine such a number as 100,000 lease terns in one fairly small area now, when the entire North American population is estimated to be between only 60,000 and 100,000, according to the North American Water Bird Conservation Plan. In Hancock County, Mississippi, some of the people with beachfront property don't appreciate the intrinsic value of lease terns or the concept of stewardship. Audubon volunteers, concerned people in the area, and local businesses want to protect this treasure, but some people with beachfront property are using noise and other means to scare the terns away so they won't have to share their little piece of heaven with some of the very creatures who make beaches heavenly. I wrote to the Board of Supervisors, but their decision, a quote, compromise, limits the area Audubon can rope off so the private landowners, who of course do not own the actual beach, can continue to exclude the terns on the beach below their property. I've been thinking about people's selfishness with regard to sharing waterfront property since Thursday, when high winds and cold were keeping all kinds of exhausted, hungry migrants down all over the place up here. Those of us on my Duluth Audubon Warbler Walk at Park Point came upon a marbled godwit, a gorgeous long-billed shorebird far out of its range. We got long, wonderful looks through my spotting scope, but did not approach close enough for really superb photos since we didn't want it to get scared and waste energy flying away from us. When we were closer to the recreation building, we noticed someone running their dog on the ball field right where the godwit had been. Now it was nowhere in sight. We refound it later, but that poor bird should not have been displaced for such a trivial recreational purpose. Then this Tuesday, when we were doing our warbler walk on the Western Waterfront Trail, we came upon a cat. It's wearing a bell and collar, so its owner is flagrantly violating Duluth's cat leash ordinance. The little songbirds we encountered, a few ruby-crowned kinglets and yellow-rumped warblers and two or three sparrows, were so cold and hungry that they were spending their time on the ground searching under the leaves for what few insects were there. Last week there were many more little birds there, and I wonder if the cat didn't reduce the numbers both directly and by scaring things off from one of the best areas in town for migrants to find what food is available. Duluth can't really afford to enforce the leash law, but a cat posing a clear and present danger to weary migrants does not belong on the Western Waterfront Trail. We people take pride in our species being unique for our supreme intelligence. I only wish we'd use that intelligence. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.